Welcome to the Real Talk with Dana podcast. I'm your host, Dana Monsees, licensed dietitian, nutritionist, and body image coach. On this show, you'll learn how to listen to and trust your body instead of trying to control it. We'll dig into the healing power of nutrition from a non-diet, weight-inclusive, health-at-every-size approach. My guests and I will guide you through how to heal from digestive issues and hormonal imbalances, all while making peace with food and your body without obsession or restriction. Hey there, Internet. Welcome back to the Real Talk with Dana podcast. So if you're listening to this when it comes out, we are smack dab in the middle of the holiday season, and we're about a week away from Thanksgiving in the U.S. So, updates. On our free newsletter, Christina Hoyt and I have been talking about elimination diets and how they not only cannot fix everything because they do not get to the root cause of what's going on, they're just a Band-Aid, and how they can actually do more harm than good by implanting these yes and no food lists and their associated or perceived consequences in our minds, which in itself can negatively impact our relationship with food in a huge way. So we have talked about this for years from our clinical experience, and there's also a new study that has come out about how our perception of certain foods can have a greater physiological impact on the body than the actual content of that food. Meaning, what we believe or assume to be true about certain foods can have a greater impact on the body and the way that your body metabolizes those foods rather than the objective nutritional makeup of those foods. So the study is called Glucose Metabolism Responds to Perceived Sugar Intake More Than Actual Sugar Intake. So if I've lost you a little bit in all the scientific terms and stuff, don't worry, we're going to break down exactly what the study is actually saying and why it matters. And why does it matter? This is exactly why working on your relationship with food is so incredibly important and why we work on this so much with our wholehearted eating approach. P.S. If you don't remember what that is or if you missed that podcast, I will link it in the show notes. Because the enormous amount of stress that most people carry around daily about food and our bodies can show up in your blood work, manifest in physical symptoms like GI issues, gas and bloating, hormonal imbalances, adrenal issues, thyroid issues, and the whole nine yards. Meaning that working on our relationship with food and our bodies is paramount and essential to helping heal your physical, mental, and emotional health. And timely, with the holidays coming up, right? So we wanted to talk about this study too, because a lot of people tend to fall into a good versus bad on and off again cycle with the food and the holidays, with lots of shame and guilt and shoulds versus shouldn'ts around their food choices. About that specifically, stay tuned because Christina and I are also going to be running another diet detox holiday challenge in December. So we did this last year and you guys loved it. So we wanted to do it again to provide you some support and community to help with your relationship with food and your body through the holidays, especially because this year is so different in the age of 2020, right? So with what we did last year, you're going to be getting 5 days of videos, action steps, and bonuses to get the strategy, tools, and mindset to enjoy the holidays instead of feeling like you have to survive them until January. So that's just a little preview. I haven't announced that anywhere else yet, so stay tuned for details. Once the sign-up link is live, I will put that in the show notes too. For now, we are going to get into the nitty-gritty of this super cool and very important study. And don't worry, again, we're going to be breaking it down into very easy to understand terms with a few takeaways for you guys today too.
You know, we talk about our relationship with food and how that impacts us, but now we have an actual study that shows how much our perception of food actually impacts us, and they did a study on it, and which is really cool to kind of share. And so here it is in real application, not just in theory, not just through clinical experience. We've seen this through clinical experience a bunch of times, but now they actually conducted a study that showed that your perception of whether or not a food is good or bad impacts you on a metabolic level. This isn't just like hooey wooey, like, oh, you should eat whatever. This is like, literally, this is how your body responds. And this is physiological. And now we have a study to back it up.
So let's talk about it.
I was shared this study that we're going to talk about today through a colleague of mine. And I was really excited when I saw it. And I kind of did that like praise hands, like, hands raised thing when I saw it, because it was in a group of other clinicians. And it kind of felt like this moment of finally, there's the research backing our clinical experience when it comes to how our body responds to food when we have a perceived belief about that food. And so this study is really cool because the title of it, and I'm sure Dana, you'll share it in the show notes and stuff, like what the actual link is to the research for those of you who are interested in nerding out over it. But it's a really, really cool study, but it's called Glucose Metabolism Responds to Perceived Sugar Intake More Than Actual Sugar Intake. And if you've been following along, if you're on me and Dana's newsletter, you may have seen a little bit of a theme recently around elimination diets, because this time of year, everyone seems to be trying to do some kind of new protocol, and we're just hashtag over it. I'm so tired of it. So we've been talking about this a lot. We've been talking about how we've been talking about the gut brain axis a lot within our non-diet community on Facebook, and sharing with them about that and about how, in a very real way, our bodies, belief and emotions around food impact us via our gut brain axis, right? And we talk about it like a lot of times, like when you have the butterflies because you're anxious about something, it makes you get like the bubbly guts and stuff like that. And we've been talking about that a lot. And we've been talking about it from this almost kind of like a theoretical approach, you know, like in theory, this is why this happens, because this is what our body does physiologically. And so we're applying it to food. And now what this study did, which is brilliant and so great that someone created the structure in order to test for this, and then the results were in alignment with what has been the belief that a lot of people who have in this wholehearted eating world and integrative, you know, kind of approach and intuitive eating kind of approach and non-diet approach of things would show that this would be the way to go. And that this, so it kind of reconfirmed this anxiety around food actually leads to an impact from you on a biological level. And so that's what this is all about. So yeah, Dana, do you want to get into kind of the basics of the test and stuff?
Yeah. So want to give a little bit of a primer. Science broken down so it's easy, right? So the study is called Glucose Metabolism Responds to Perceived Sugar Intake More Than Actual Sugar Intake. So let's break down that title so we know what we're talking about. So all sugars and carbohydrates, which are sugars, break down in the body into glucose so that they can be digested, absorbed, and utilized as energy or stored as energy for later. Okay, so that's like the first word in the whole study, right? So glucose metabolism, the way that all sugars and carbohydrates are broken down in the body. The way that this happens responds to perceived sugar intake, which we'll explain. So this process is responding more intensely, let's say, to perceived sugar intake. So how much sugar you think you are eating rather than the amount of sugar that you are actually eating. So the point of this study was for these researchers to see whether our psychological response, so the way that we think about food, to eating certain foods impacts the physiological response, so the whole body response, in this case, raising blood sugar. Because currently, sugar consumption is the most widely accepted factor in explaining blood sugar fluctuation, blood sugar highs and lows, all that kind of stuff, right? So Christina, do you want to talk a little bit more of how they actually tested it?
Totally. So this is really cool. They took individuals who had type 2 diabetes, and they had two different groups. They had a control group and then their hypothesis group, I guess. And so what they did was they all had type 2 diabetes, and what they did is they relabeled their beverages that they were giving these individuals. One group, the labeling on the group was saying low sugar, good for diabetics, blah, 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 all the things. And the label said zero added grams of sugar, zero, like sugar free, all of the things, right? And then the other group, their drink labeled with saying high in sugar, and it said the double the amount, it had 30 grams of sugar on it. It's the labeling was what it said, and all of that. And the reality was that both of the groups actually got the exact same sugar content in their drink, and it was 15 grams. And so what they did is they tested their blood sugars before they had it. And then they tested it after they had the drink. And interestingly enough, the group that had the belief that their drink was of a higher sugar content had elevated sugar response in their body, so higher blood glucose levels, than the people who believed that their drink was actually lower, even though they both had the exact same amount and type of sugar. So what this is kind of showing us, the, you know, how they tested it and what they're showing, is basically kind of giving us this breakdown that the perception, rather than the objective nutritional differences in the food, can impact the way your body metabolizes those foods. Lots of science language there, but basically what that's basically saying is how you think about a food, what your belief around a food, impacts how your body responds to that food. And in this case, it was showing through elevated blood sugar levels. So the people who believed, and let's just put it like in super layman's terms, right? The people who thought that the drink was good for them and the people who thought the food was bad for them responded in different ways, even though the food was exactly the same. They were just told different things. Does this sound familiar? Right? Like, does this sound familiar? Think about every food you've ever been told was bad for you and your perception of it. How might this be impacting your body's response to that food? I just think it's so incredible. This research was just released maybe 2 weeks ago. Something like that, like 2 weeks ago. This is really, really fascinating to show. I just got really excited because when I saw it, I honestly thought, oh my God, it's here. It's finally getting put together that we can now show people that we work with, people that we can literally shout from the rooftops. This isn't made up. This isn't theoretical anymore. We have actual evidence that the perception that people had around food impacted the way their body responded to that food. Talk about every food sensitivity test. Are you kidding me? Every time you get the bubbly guts. Now, that's not to say that some people don't have reactions to food. You know, people especially for these individuals, they had type 2 diabetes. You know, their sugar content matters for how their body responds to it. But the point is that if you think it's bad or you think it's good for you, your body responds differently, which is really, really cool to see how our emotions and mental state are linked to our nervous system.
Which also means that it is so incredibly important for everyone, and especially people who have chronic illness or who have these perceived reactions or relations between the foods that they're eating and the symptoms that they're experiencing, it is going to be so important for them, which we already knew, but proves even more with this study. If you have any kind of underlying condition, if you've ever heard that there's a certain food that you shouldn't or should be eating because of you have a certain health condition, you need to work on your relationship with food, because this study shows that your perception of whether or not you think that food is good or bad for you, healthy or unhealthy, you know, whatever, can impact the way that your body metabolizes that food. Meaning that that could be the difference between having a flare in response to a certain food or not, purely based on the good versus bad or the stress that you have around that food. So let's talk a little bit more about, like, why does this happen, right? So, like, getting into the neutral nutrition and, like, the evidence-based piece of, like, what's actually happening in the body that's making this happen. So this is what Christina was referring to before. We've been talking a lot in our group about the gut-brain axis and the vagus nerve and how so closely tied our gut and our brains are, not only together, but also to the nervous system. And how when you have anxiety, for example, it goes down the vagus nerve and it's like, ooh, bubble guts. Or other way, if you have bubble guts, then it can impact the way that your neurotransmitters are firing, how nutrients are absorbed, how all the different things, how peristalsis, which is how your body food motility works and moves through the body and impacts your digestion, right? Like that's all a part of the nervous system. But your mental and emotional state are also linked to the autonomic nervous system, right? So specifically the parasympathetic or sympathetic responses to blood glucose. So this is layman's terms again, rest and digest versus fight or flight. If you're experiencing stress around a certain food, so in this study, we'll say the what people thought was the unhealthy drink and what people thought was the healthy drink, right? If people think they're drinking something healthy, probably their rest and digest nervous system is being stimulated, meaning they're having stomach acid is being produced, they're having digestive juices, like digestive enzymes are being produced. Their body is ready to digest and absorb that food.
They're relaxed, their body's assimilating, they're doing all the things, they're not tensed and feeling anxious about it.
Right. If you are feeling tensed and anxious about it because you think, oh my gosh, this is an unhealthy food, this is something I shouldn't be eating, is this familiar to anyone? You then go into fight or flight. When your body goes into fight or flight, it produces cortisol, which guess what that does? Releases blood sugar from your stores, which means your insulin and glucose levels are now shooting up before you have even eaten that food.
Boom. But so awesome to see in a scientific study like this, because it's really showing that our perception of food produces an altered dynamic, right? Which I think is really cool that I don't know how else to describe it other than I think it's really cool that our perception changes the way that our body responds to food. And I think that that's a really, really cool thing to see here in real time. I mean, if this isn't an argument for the first pillar of wholehearted eating, food neutrality, that I don't know what is. You know, honestly, if this doesn't encourage people to start to really think about their relationship with food and becoming more food neutral, then you're ignoring a huge piece of the way that our body functions. And now we're seeing it in a scientific study showing very clearly how this belief around food impacts the way that we can, moving forward, do diabetes management, right? Right now, the current, like the mainstream, you know, program for type 2 diabetes management is through diet and exercise. That's it. That's what they're doing. They're doing sugar management, not eating certain foods, telling them they can't have all these things and all of the things that are associated with it. And it's totally missing out on the psychological intervention programs that we could be incorporating in here and working on this relationship with food and working on removing the good versus bad. And thinking about, like, I think that it could also be an argument for the obesity epidemic. Right? Like people are thinking that, like, you know, we're becoming more and more diabetic because of food practices and the way that people are eating, and that we're getting this epidemic with type 2 diabetes. Type 2 diabetes is considered, I think, like one of the number one health risks that are happening right now worldwide. And if you think about the trend, right, of dieting and what we've been in diet culture and what we've been watching for so long, year after year after year, food is becoming good or bad and worse and worse and worse. And we have these really strong beliefs around food right now, right? This is what's good and healthy and this is what's bad. And then I wonder if you were to put, like, you know, a trend side by side and seeing this is when we started good versus bad and this is the trajectory, I wonder if they would overlap in a big way. I imagine that they probably could. I don't know if they will. This is just a theory. But I could imagine that they really could overlap in a real way by seeing how our body if we're becoming more chronically ill, is it because of the foods that we're eating, or is it partially yes and including in our perception of those foods?
Well, so Caroline Dooner does talk about this, not that exactly, but she talks about a similar phenomenon in her book, The Fuck It Diet, which we're reading in our non-diet community, if you guys want to join. But she talks about how, you know, the diet culture, as it's known now, is a recent phenomenon, right? Like maybe 40 years-ish, a little bit longer than that. But this epidemic of what, you know, the system is calling it, didn't start until this new version of diet culture started. The more that, specifically in the US, right, because we have a lot more research on the US than we do in other places, at least in this circle we do, right? And the US is commonly the country that's most studied about this so-called obesity epidemic, heavy air quotes, right? Because obesity is a constructed term anyway. So the more that this country has dieted and dieted harder and come up with more diets and more people are dieting, the more chronic health conditions are increasing in this country, and the more that the overall or like average body weight of everyone in the country is increasing, right? So then their argument for that is, oh, there's more chronic disease because there's more people who are in the overweight or obese BMI category, which again, don't get us started on BMI, right?
Which we know what dieting does to impacting our weight and metabolism and all the things that are associated with it too.
Right. Right. Which is something that they completely ignore, right? So what if it's that the dieting behaviors and the kind of like whiplash effect of this binge restrict cycle and weight cycling that happens as a result of dieting is actually part of the problem with the chronic illnesses that are increasing in this country over years and years?
Also, I gotta say this, and I'm just gonna say
I'm ready.
You're ready for it. If you're an integrative functional doctor or nutritionist, and you're not taking in consideration this study, then you're ignoring one of the root causes of inflammation in the body for people. Because the gut-brain axis, when you're in a chronic stressed state, you are inflammation. That is the bedrock of inflammation. Look at the research on cardiovascular disease. Look on the research for all of these different types of diseases that we're seeing right now that are chronic illnesses for a lot of people. And so when your doctor or your people or people you're following are talking about how you need to manage your stress levels, and they're not talking about your relationship with food as impacting your stress levels, then you're not getting the whole picture. They need to be talking about this. And if they're not talking about it, then they're not doing their job. That's how I look at it. Maybe that's kind of harsh, but.
No, I agree. Because what they are doing is saying, oh, you have these chronic health conditions, you should lose weight. Or my favorite, and by mean, I hate this with every ounce of my body, when anyone who's not in the quote unquote normal BMI category goes to any medical practitioner, even if you don't have any health conditions, they're like, oh, you should lose weight. Oh, your blood work's fine, but you should lose weight. Oh, like, you know, this and this. And then God forbid you have any kind of health condition. They tell you in order to fix it, you should lose weight. Losing weight alone is not going to fix your stress levels. It's not going to fix your anxiety. It's not going to fix your inflammation. It's not going to fix your gut-brain axis and all of the inflammation that's happening because of the stress and anxiety that you have around your body weight and about going into the doctor's office and being told that you should lose weight. What do you think that does for your stress and anxiety? And by default, your inflammation levels, it's going up.
Girl, my heart is racing. I'm so excited about this study right now.
Christina's legit in fight or flight right now.
I am legit. I'm so fired up about this that I'm so excited that this is coming. And you know what I love about it even more is that, you know, Dan and I are in the integrative world. To be able to now use this argument going forward with anyone that comes at us with doing like, oh, well, you know, there are good foods and there are bad foods. Like, you know, this is a bad food. Sugar's bad, quote unquote, you know, and this is a healthy food. It's like, well, your belief around that is actually impacting how your body is metabolizing it. And here's the research to back it up. And I'm just really excited to share that with with everybody. And here, and especially in our field. And I think too, I hope whoever's listening to this and they're hearing this study is super liberated to hear this and be like, oh wow, oh snap. This is another check in the box of non-diet life. No food morality, no good versus bad foods. In that box of like, check, this might be the root of all of our stuff, and that where we need to be moving towards. This is just a really awesome study. And for the people who did it, I don't know who the authors are. We're going to share them in the show notes. They're amazing people. I'm super excited that they did this. And that, you know, honestly, in all fairness, I'm really glad that the results were what they were, obviously. You know, that's really awesome that the theory has been proven. And they did it in a really hot topic group of individuals with type 2 diabetes, because that is a hot topic.
Yep. So we know that working on your relationship with food, which is rooted in your relationship with your body, can help improve and manage the physiological symptoms of chronic illness and blood sugar management. Boom. Now, disclaimers here, like this is a pilot study, right? Like it was a small study, which basically just means that this is the beginnings of a lot of research that's going to be done. So does this prove everything? No, but this is a really important pilot study, again, in this like new and emerging field, because there needs to be more research about this stuff so people will start talking about it.
Yeah. And like we've been talking about this whole time, like a lot of the ideas that we're talking about in response to this, this is opening up the door for those conversations and to be able to maybe do deeper research into the connection with, you know, our chronic health issues and the connection with the trajectory from our diet culture, along with, you know, the chronic illness that we're seeing rise in our country and across the world, really. I think it's really cool. And I'm really glad that they did this pilot study, and I cannot wait to see the deeper they get into it. And I hope they get all the funding. I hope they have a crowdsourcing. I would definitely do what I could to give some money to help them fund this if they can't get funding. We can crowdsource it for them if they need it.
Yeah. The only last thing that I will say is if you guys do go and read the study, you will see that in the introduction, when they're citing some other studies, they are talking, like, clearly the researchers aren't all the way there yet. Like, this is a really good start, but they're still talking about, like, oh, this and caloric restriction and like this and whatever. So just so you know, if you're going to be triggered by that, skip the first part where they're not actually talking about the study or the results of the study yet. Just go straight to the findings, the conclusion, go to the abstract, everything like that, because they're almost there, but they're not there yet.
They need more research like this to keep pushing them in the direction of coming to the same conclusions that we've been talking about for a long time.
Exactly.
So awesome.
Yeah. Woohoo. So we're going to be hopefully doing more stuff like this in the future when more studies come out. Hey, let's hope, fingers crossed, everybody crowdsource them when it exists, you know.
Oh, also another fun thing, I don't know, but let us know if you want to see more things like this and other types of studies like this we can share. There's so many other different ones on mindset and stuff like that that are really cool too.
Yeah. Or even if there is a study that is not non-diet and you're like, I want to know what you guys think of this. Send it to us. Instagram, email, in our Facebook group, probably the best way to find us. That'll be in the show notes.
Yeah, Facebook group would be the way to go. We also do little videos in there for just them. So sometimes we can't get everything on the podcast. You know, I haven't been on since January until this. So I can't guarantee that I'll be there the whole time. You also like how I'm inviting people to send us ideas for your podcast that I'm...
It's because we talk every day. You basically feel like you own this podcast as well.
I know that I don't. I just love throwing new ideas.
I appreciate them. I always appreciate new ideas for the podcast. Except people who email me and they're like, I want to be a guest on your podcast and I want to talk about the next best weight loss method. And I'm like, here's the door. Please let it hit you on your way out.
Oh my God. I don't, that's just so clear that people haven't listened.
Yes, exactly.
Right? It's like, that's so, I mean, that's, you know, pitching 101, but this is not a business podcast, but
yeah,
that's like
pitching behind the scenes.
Yeah.
If you want to pitch anybody for anything and they're like, oh my God, I love your stuff. I've done so much research about you. Make sure you actually have done at least a little bit of research because it's very obvious if you haven't.
Yeah. Especially when, I don't know, we're kind of like your perspective is kind of more fringe than it is mainstream, obviously. So if they don't know it, it's really obvious. They don't know it. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, of course. Hope you guys liked the study, and we hope to be back doing this again soon.
Yes. Yes.
Hey there. Thanks for listening to the Real Talk with Dana podcast with me, your host, Dana, obviously. And I just wanted to say, you're the best. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with your family and friends. Maybe send a 5-star rating and review on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Why would you do that, you ask? Because this helps more people find the show so that we can spread the food and body peace word, break down diet culture, and the unrealistic beauty standards that make us all feel like we need to shrink ourselves with food and exercise in order to be worthy in the world, which sucks. For discussion on the show episodes, if you want to request a guest or ask a question, if you'd like some support, please join the non-diet community on Facebook, which is a free group where you can go get some community and support. I'll see you over there and see you next week.